Thank you for coming on today's Bible College curriculum. Fernando, your instructor. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today, the topic is oppose the devil. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee for you. Very quick, when fear tried to enter my heart, my mind, my body, it came in from the left side like a cold front. And I felt fear in my left side of me, like it was a tremendous fear that wanted to come in and possess my soul. It was the weirdest thing. I hadn't been doing anything weird. I had just come from Bible study, from praising the Lord. And I was sitting here. It was kind of like the spirit was going around the house. So what I did is I submitted myself to God by singing. I stood up and I started singing, clapping my hands. And I was acting as if, just praising the Lord. I even sang Beatles songs to stay happy and joyful. And it took about 2 hours of fighting. And that fear left. Never has been back. But I have had it before in years back when I wasn't a Christian. I had that fear of bills and the economy and what's going to happen. But one way to, if you're born again, you know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, our tambourine is our choice of weapon. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Evil thoughts, evil fears, evil anything. Credit cards, all of that is taken care of, folks. And the way we believe through praise and worship, we just believe it because we feel it. We sense it. We sense it's going to be all right, don't we? We sense it. Let's take that love and we start building on it. And the devil will flee from us. Amen. James 4:7. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God, verse 8, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands. God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Just start asking God, Lord, I'm thankful I messed up. I'm grateful I messed up. You know, he's your daddy. What is he going to say? No, you can't. Give me 20 push-ups. He's going to hold you in his open arms and you continue, and even if you mess up again and again, you continue to praise him and thank him and worship him, praise him and thank, just like King David. Amen. God is a progressive God. You know, defeat, failure is not failure. When we keep praising God and asking for his forgiveness and his mercy, amen. He keeps, see what happens when we keep thanking God for a situation that we keep doing wrong, he keeps injecting love into us, wisdom, his righteousness, his redemption, his holiness. And the more we mess up, the more grace he keeps pumping into us. And then one day, boom, we're not going to have the desire to gamble, pornography, or everything's going to go away. Jealousy, fear. So it's God is a treasure trove by praising him. All right. Enough of me. Let's get to the articles, which are written by Gloria and Kenneth Copeland. If you've been crying and asking God to run the devil out of your life, stop. Stop. The Bible says you're the one who's supposed to overcome the devil. How? By resisting him, by rebelling against him when he tells you to do something and doing what God says instead. By rebelling against him when he tells you to do something and doing what God says instead. What does the devil tell us to do? It tells us to run red lights. He tells us to move into the lane without checking. The devil is the one that does evil inspiration or wise inspiration. I call it inspirations because in intuition or whatever, he just talks to you and the timing is right for you to cause havoc. That's what he wants. Say a word, say the wrong thing. That's why y'all will praise the Lord and keep the Lord first front and put Satan and his lies in back of you. When Satan tells you some lie, contradict him with the word of God. Oppose him. This verse says when you do that, he'll flee from you. He'll run as a terror. He'll run. You know, you can say, thank you, devil. Appreciate that. Now you remind me just to praise the Lord with that evil thought. You know, you just reminded me to praise the Lord. We get a hold of our thought and take the reins and keys away from the devil and put it on our side where it belongs. That means everywhere you go, as you walk in faith and oppose the devil, darkness is pushed back. So start pushing back the darkness. You can do it. The life of God is within you. Jesus himself is living inside you. Everywhere you go, he goes. Every problem that rises up against you, every evil spirit that tries to influence your life is coming up against God when it comes up against you. All you need to do is to become conscious of that. Begin now living your life moment by moment, knowing that the light of God is in you. The word of God is in you. The spirit of God is in you. Live knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, is in you. Then watch the devil run. All right, reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. And before they read it, I want to relay something to you. We were selling real estate, and I was just getting started. And I was living with my brother-in-law and my sister, and they had a baby. First, they lived with me, and I sold my house. We sold the house, and then I ended up moving with them, and they had an extra room in the back. And then the little boy started to grow up. So he was 4. He spent a lot of time with me. We do a lot of work in the yard and wax cars and so forth. And well, lo and behold, I got him saved at 4 or 5 years old and started praising the Lord and telling them what's evil and what's right and what's good. And then one day he had a dream. 5-year-old kid. He came up to me so excited. He said, Fernando, Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. The little 5-year-old was jumping up and down. He goes, when I go to bed, Jesus is standing there, and then he dives into my heart. And I said, Jesus, come out. And Jesus comes out of my heart, and he stands there. And then I say, Jesus, come into my heart. And Jesus dives into my heart. And then I ask, Jesus, go, come out. And Jesus comes out and he stands there. He goes, Jesus is in my heart. 5-year-old, folks. Amen. To this day, that man has 4 kids and works in a union job, takes care of his family, 1 wife, 4 kids, and they're all good hitters in baseball. He just does so much for them. And it's just a beautiful thing to see that God's word has taken place in that young boy's heart. Amen. All right. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy. And in the time of evil, then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. Now, while we may be firmly grounded in sound doctrine and accept our responsibility to live godly lives, we must be aware of the fierce unseen warfare Satan wages against us. Many of our struggles with addiction could be the result of direct attacks by spiritual enemies. Since we continue to struggle with dependencies that once rendered us powerless, we need to admit our continued inability to manage our lives. Then as we turn our lives and wills over to God, He will stand with us in battle. Now notice that each piece of God's armor, except the sword, is defensive in nature. As recovering people, restoring addicts and restoring just common sense, we need to improve our conscious contact with God to know Him better and to surround ourselves with truth, righteousness, faith, and prayer. These will protect us against the assaults of hostile spiritual forces. The forces arrayed against us are powerful, but the weapons God gives us are adequate for our defense. Part of the armor, the shoes, enables us to share the good news of God delivering power with others, giving hope to them while also supporting our own recovery, our own growth. Amen. Beautiful, wonderful reading. Okay, let's go ahead and do the 24th of April. Amen. And that one's called Inside Out. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Amen. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Amazing, amazing scripture, isn't it? Now, the glory of God is seen in the new covenant as well in the old. But rather than being reflected on the outside, as with Moses' face, the glory of the new covenant involves a transformation from the inside out. This glory shines through the lives of all who trust Jesus Christ and pursue true recovery in the power of the Holy Spirit. The further we progress in our relationship with God, the more visible God's glory becomes in our lives. Amen. Yes, I like it when people see Jesus in us, or they ask you what church you go to. Those are the two main things that people see the Lord inside of us. Actually, they read the Bible. They see that we have spent time in the Bible, and they see the Word of God glowing inside of us. Amen. Now, here's the teaching. Have you ever thought about the fact that man is the only creature God created who has to wear clothing to cover himself? All the other creatures grow their own covering. Some grow fur, some feathers, others scales or leathery hide. But all are clothed from the inside out. Most people don't realize it, but in the beginning, man was clothed that way too. He was made in the image of God. And if you look in Ezekiel 8:2, you'll find that God is clothed in fire from the loins up and from the loins down. That fire is His glory emanating outward from His innermost being. When man was first created, he was like that too. He was covered with the very glory of God. It radiated from his inner being outward. That's why he had no sense of nakedness until after he sinned and the glory departed from him. You see, when you put your faith in the blood of Jesus and were born again, the glory of God once again took up residence in you. It may be well hidden right now, but believe me, it's in there. And the Bible says that as you gaze into the Lord's face by studying the Word and fellowship with Him, as you renew your mind to understand who you are in Christ, you'll be changed into His image on the outside as well. As you learn to hear His voice and obey it, you'll start giving outward. expressions of the glory within you. Little by little, you'll be turned inside out. The first thing that comes out of you is your smile. Instead of simply staring into your closet every morning, spend some time gazing at Jesus and beholding his word. Let him clothe you in his radiant presence. Once his glory starts shining through you, anything you wear will look beautiful on you. Amen. You can read the book of John and very easily go brilliant on everybody. As you smile, as you glow, people say, what are you been doing? Where have you been putting your head? All right, they want us to read Psalm 8. Psalm 8 in the New Living Testament says, amen and amen. Again, thank you so much for coming down here and being part of this college, free college online. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, your majesty, name fills the earth. Excuse me. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Amen and amen. Psalm 8, many of our problems are rooted in our low self-esteem. And also the inability to love ourselves. We throw daggers at others because we're mean, we're ugly, we don't feel good. Perhaps we were never listened to as children. Or maybe we were abused by people who had authority over us. Or we were never disciplined, left to ourselves, unloved. Whatever the roots of our problem, we are now probably overly sensitive to the attacks of others. We see here that God has made us to be fantastic beings with great honor and authority. Well, don't you like that? To have great honor and authority and being a fantastic being? You are very fortunate. If I were you, I go around all day saying, I am fortunate. I am fortunate. Just keep saying it till you believe it. We should never sell ourselves short. Self-esteem should be based on what God thinks of us, not on what others say about us. We are very fortunate to have forgiveness. We're very fortunate to have the love of God in our hearts. We're very fortunate to have coherence and be able to read the Bible and learn it. We're very fortunate that we have duty and we have things to do. Amen. We're very fortunate we got the Lord Jesus Christ going to bat for us and hitting our home runs. Amen. April 25th. It's beginning to rain. Scripture is Joel 2:23. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come as well as the spring rains. Amen. There's a spiritual flood coming. God has promised it. He's promised us an outpouring of Holy Spirit power that will bring in the greatest harvest of souls any of us has ever seen. As believers, we've been reading about it in the Word and hearing about it from the pulpit for years. We've been staring towards heaven so long, waiting for it to come, that we've gotten cricks in our spiritual necks. We had this mental image of God pouring down his Spirit from some sort of big heavenly pitcher above us. But you know what? We've been looking in the wrong direction. The picture God is going to use to pour out his power are right here on earth. Jesus explained it this way. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:38. The end time flood we all been expecting is going to be composed of living waters that will pour forth from believers. The Holy Spirit within us will be the source of all signs and wonders and miracles the prophets foretold. And when we begin to fervently pray the prayer of intercession, the flood of that power will begin to flow. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Our prayers, our intercession, are what will release the great outpouring of God's Spirit. As we begin to join together and cry out to God, the rivers of living water within each of us will join together and become a flood of spiritual power in the earth. So ask, pray for the Holy Ghost goalie washer, intercede for the outpouring, make this mighty flood a spiritual power priority in your prayer life. And scripture reading is Joel 2:23-32. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains in the spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion and Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivings whom the Lord has called. Amen and amen. Now remember, if the people of Judah admitted their sins, God would take away their pains and replace it with blessings. Likewise, we, when we admit to our addictions and dependencies and our sins and turn our lives over to God, he will take away the things that torment us and replace them with his wonderful provisions. The barren, parched wastelands of our lives will flourish. He promises that we will never have to go through the pain of our addictions again as long as we follow him. Since this prophecy was fulfilled at Pentecost in Acts 2, we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been changing dysfunctional lives since he was given to the world. Peter and the apostles in Acts 2, Paul, Acts 9, a demon-possessed slave girl and a jailer, Acts 16, and others, the spirit that Joel prophesied about, the spirit who changed first century lives is available to change our lives. Two, we can trust the God of the Old and New Testament to heal our broken lives and help us journey toward recovery. Amen and amen. One more. Yeah, let's go to 26, please. The 26 says, press on in patience, press on. Scripture is Hebrews 6:12. Be strong, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Through faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12 in the New Living Testament says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the examples of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Amen. All right. You've been walking by faith. You've been believing God to meet your need. But what do you do when the results seem slow in coming and you are tempted to give up? Be patient. I said, be patient. There's not much said about patience these days, but when it comes to receiving from God, it is just as important as faith. It will make the difference between success and failure for you. Patience undergirds and sustains faith until the result is manifested. After you have meditated on the promises of God and have them in your spirit, patience will encourage you to hold steadily. Patience is power. It has the courage to refuse the lie of Satan that says the word is not working for you. It knows that God's word has never failed. Patience will not draw back in fear, but will press toward in faith until you have the answer. It will press forward. When the results of your faith seem slow in coming, don't give up. Continue to put the word first with patience, and you will surely receive the promise of God. Let's go ahead and read Hebrews 6:12 again. It says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the examples of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. And folks, that's me and you. And we already have inherited a whole bunch. You know, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus. More to come. In confronting his readers regarding their spiritual lethargy, the writer writes a Hebrew. Words were strong and direct. Though here he still chooses to be positive and think the best about them, he knew from the past how hard they had worked, but he also faced the reality of their immaturity and challenged them to persevere in spiritual growth and recovery with patient faith. In our recovery, we sometimes need to be corrected and challenged. This passage gives us an example of how to confront others when necessary and yet also be open to correction from people who love us. Amen. All right, now reading Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. Amen, 10:32-39. It says, curtain open. Think of back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And again, like I said, you want to be courageous, honest, and when you mess up and say, thank you, God, I did that. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, Daddy, for doing that. And go ahead again. Then you mess up again and say, thank you, Daddy, I messed up. Thank you, God, I'm doing that. I thank you that I'm a mess up. I thank you I'm a misfit. And you keep playing with the situation. What you're doing is you're establishing a new habit in you of God's love, power, and presence. So it's really a battle against the sin, that it's a habit to a new habit of you praising the Lord every time the bad habit happens. You hook up a good habit and back up a bad habit, and eventually the power of the gospel, the power of God, the presence of God in thanking him for the problem will dissipate, dissolve, and clear away the sin that's so easily besetting you. Now we are using our willpower in the right direction. We are implementing the Lord's will. We're saying, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I thank you and I praise you. I'm a misfit. I praise you and I thank you. I messed up. If you keep on messing up, don't give up. This is part of the endurance. It's part of the education. If you learn this one, can you imagine how many people you're going to be able to help? Again, thank you so much for coming in here and be making a difference in my life and your life. Let's go ahead and pray out with the Lord's Prayer again, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I love you. Thank you for coming on today's Bible College curriculum. Fernando, your instructor. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today, the topic is oppose the devil. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Very quick, when fear tried to enter my heart, my mind, my body, it came in from the left side like a cold front. And I felt fear in my left side of me, like it was a tremendous fear that wanted to come in and possess my soul. It was the weirdest thing. I hadn't been doing anything weird. I had just come from Bible study, from praising the Lord. And I was sitting here. It was kind of like the spirit was going around the house. So what I did is I submitted myself to God by singing. I stood up and I started singing, clapping my hands. And I was acting as if, just praising the Lord. I even sang Beatles songs to stay happy and joyful. And it took about 2 hours of fighting. And that fear left. Never has been back. But I have had it before in years back when I wasn't a Christian. I had that fear of bills and the economy and what's going to happen. But one way to, if you're born again, you know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, our tambourine is our choice of weapon. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Evil thoughts, evil fears, evil anything. Credit cards, all of that is taken care of, folks. And the way we believe through praise and worship, we just believe it because we feel it. We sense it. We sense it's going to be all right, don't we? We sense it. Let's take that love and we start building on it. And the devil will flee from us. Amen. James 4:7. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God, verse 8, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Just start asking God, Lord, I'm thankful I messed up. I'm grateful I messed up. You know, he's your daddy. What is he going to say? No, you can't. Give me 20 push-ups. He's going to hold you in his open arms, and you continue. And even if you mess up again and again, you continue to praise him and thank him and worship him, praise him and thank, just like King David. Amen. God is a progressive God. You know, defeat, failure is not failure. When we keep praising God and asking for his forgiveness and his mercy, amen. He keeps, see what happens when we keep thanking God for a situation that we keep doing wrong. He keeps injecting love into us, wisdom, his righteousness, his redemption, his holiness. And the more we mess up, the more grace he keeps pumping into us. And then one day, boom, we're not going to have desire to gamble, pornography, or everything's going to go away. Jealousy, fear. So it's God is a treasure trove by praising him. All right, enough of me. Let's get to the articles, which are written by Gloria and Kenneth Copeland. If you've been crying and asking God to run the devil out of your life, stop. Stop. The Bible says you're the one who's supposed to overcome the devil. How? By resisting him, by rebelling against him when he tells you to do something and doing what God says instead. By rebelling against him when he tells you to do something and doing what God says instead. What does the devil tell us to do? He tells us to run red lights. He tells us to move into the lane without checking. The devil is the one that does evil inspiration or wise inspiration. I call it inspirations because in intuition or whatever, he just talks to you and the timing is right for you to cause havoc. That's what he wants. Say a word, say the wrong thing. That's why y'all will praise the Lord and keep the Lord first front and put Satan and his lies in back of you. When Satan tells you some lie, contradict him with the word of God. Oppose him. This verse says when you do that, he'll flee from you. He'll run as a terror. He'll run. You know, you can say, thank you, devil. Appreciate that. And then you remind me to just to praise the Lord with that evil thought. You know, you just reminded me to praise the Lord. We get a hold of our thought and take the reins and keys away from the devil and put it on our side where it belongs. That means everywhere you go, as you walk in faith and oppose the devil, darkness is pushed back. So start pushing back the darkness. You can do it. The life of God is within you. Jesus himself is living inside you. Everywhere you go, he goes. Every problem that rises up against you, every evil spirit that tries to influence your life is coming up against God when it comes up against you. All you need to do is to become conscious of that. Begin now living your life moment by moment, knowing that the light of God is in you. The word of God is in you. The spirit of God is in you. Live knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, is in you. Then watch the devil run. All right, reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. And before they read it, I want to relay something to you. We were selling real estate, and I was just getting started, and I was living with my brother-in-law and my sister, and they had a baby. First, they lived with me, and I sold my house. We sold the house, and then I ended up moving with them, and they had an extra room in the back, and then the little boy started to grow up. So he was 4. He spent a lot of time with me. We do a lot of work in the yard and wax cars and so forth, and well, lo and behold, I got him saved at 4 or 5 years old and started praising the Lord and telling them what's evil and what's right and what's good. And then one day he had a dream, a 5-year-old kid. He came up to me so excited. He said, Fernando, Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. The little 5-year-old was jumping up and down. He goes, when I go to bed, Jesus is standing there, and then he dives into my heart, and I said, Jesus, come out, and Jesus comes out of my heart, and he stands there. And then I say, Jesus, come into my heart, and Jesus dives into my heart. And then I ask Jesus, go come out. And Jesus comes out and he stands there. He goes, Jesus is in my heart. Five-year-old, folks. Amen. To this day, that man has four kids and it works in a union job, takes care of his family, one wife, four kids, and they're all good hitters in baseball. He just does so much for them. And it's just a beautiful thing to see that God's word has taken place in that young boy's heart. Amen. All right. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy. And in the time of evil, then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. Now, while we may be firmly grounded in sound doctrine and accept our responsibility to live godly lives, we must be aware of the fierce unseen warfare Satan wages against us. Many of our struggles with addiction could be the result of direct attacks by spiritual enemies. Since we continue to struggle with dependencies that once rendered us powerless, we need to admit our continued inability to manage our lives. Then as we turn our lives and wills over to God, he will stand with us in battle. Now notice that each piece of God's armor, except the sword, is defensive in nature. As recovering people, restoring addicts and restoring just common sense, we need to improve our conscious contact with God to know him better and to surround ourselves with truth, righteousness, faith, and prayer. These will protect us against the assaults of hostile spiritual forces. The forces arrayed against us are powerful, but the weapons God gives us are adequate for our defense. Part of the armor, the shoes, enables us to share the good news of God delivering power with others, giving hope to them while also supporting our own recovery, our own growth. Amen. Beautiful, wonderful reading. Okay, let's go ahead and do the 24th of April. Amen. And that one's called Inside Out. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Amen. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Amazing, amazing scripture, isn't it? Now, the glory of God is seen in the new covenant as well in the old. But rather than being reflected on the outside, as with Moses' face, the glory of the new covenant involves a transformation from the inside out. This glory shines through the lives of all who trust Jesus Christ and pursue true recovery in the power of the Holy Spirit. The further we progress in our relationship with God, the more visible God's glory becomes in our lives. Amen. Yes, I like it when people see Jesus in us, or they ask you what church you go to. Those are the two main things that the people see the Lord inside of us. Actually, they read the Bible. They see that we have spent time in the Bible, and they see the Word of God glowing inside of us. Amen. Now, here's the teaching. Have you ever thought about the fact that man is the only creature God created who has to wear clothing to cover himself? All the other creatures grow their own covering. Some grow fur, some feathers, others scales or leathery hide. But all are clothed from the inside out. Most people don't realize it, but in the beginning, man was clothed that way too. He was made in the image of God. And if you look in Ezekiel 8:2, you'll find that God is clothed in fire from the loins up and from the loins down. That fire is his glory emanating outward from his innermost being. When man was first created, he was like that too. He was covered with the very glory of God. It radiated from his inner being outward. That's why he had no sense of nakedness until after he sinned and the glory departed from him. You see, when you put your faith in the blood of Jesus and were born again, the glory of God once again took up residence in you. It may be well hidden right now, but believe me, it's in there. And the Bible says that as you gaze into the Lord's face by studying the Word and fellowship with Him, as you renew your mind to understand who you are in Christ, you'll be changed into His image on the outside as well. As you learn to hear His voice and obey it, you'll start giving outward expressions of the glory within you. Little by little, you'll be turned inside out. The first thing that comes out of you is your smile. Instead of simply staring into your closet every morning, spend some time gazing at Jesus and beholding His Word. Let Him clothe you in His radiant presence. Once His glory starts shining through you, anything you wear will look beautiful on you. Amen. You can read the book of John and very easily go brilliant on everybody. As you smile, as you glow, people say, "What are you been doing? Where have you been putting your head?" All right, they want us to read Psalm 8. Psalm 8 in the New Living Testament says, amen and amen. Again, thank you so much for coming down here and being part of this free college online. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, your majesty, name fills the earth. Excuse me. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Amen and amen. Psalm 8, many of our problems are rooted in our low self-esteem. And also the inability to love ourselves. We throw daggers at others because we're mean, we're ugly, we don't feel good. Perhaps we were never listened to as children. Or maybe we were abused by people who had authority over us. Or we were never disciplined, left to ourselves, unloved. Whatever the roots of our problem, we are now probably overly sensitive to the attacks of others. We see here that God has made us to be fantastic beings with great honor and authority. Well, don't you like that? To have great honor and authority and being a fantastic being? You are very fortunate. If I were you, I go around all day saying, I am fortunate. I am fortunate. Just keep saying it till you believe it. We should never sell ourselves short. Self-esteem should be based on what God thinks of us, not on what others say about us. We are very fortunate to have forgiveness. We are very fortunate to have the love of God in our hearts. We are very fortunate to have coherence and be able to read the Bible and learn it. We're very fortunate that we have duty and we have things to do. Amen. We're very fortunate we got the Lord Jesus Christ going to bat for us and hitting our home runs. Amen. April 25th, it's beginning to rain. Scripture is Joel 2:23. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come as well as the spring rains. Amen. There's a spiritual flood coming. God has promised it. He's promised us an outpouring of Holy Spirit power that will bring in the greatest harvest of souls any of us has ever seen. As believers, we've been reading about it in the Word and hearing about it from the pulpit for years. We've been staring towards heaven so long, waiting for it to come, that we've gotten cricks in our spiritual necks. We had this mental image of God pouring down His Spirit from some sort of big heavenly pitcher above us. But you know what? We've been looking in the wrong direction. The pitcher God is going to use to pour out His power are right here on earth. Jesus explained it this way. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:38. The end time flood we all been expecting is going to be composed of living waters that will pour forth from believers. The Holy Spirit within us will be the source of all signs and wonders and miracles the prophets foretold. And when we begin to fervently pray the prayer of intercession, the flood of that power will begin to flow. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Our prayers, our intercession are what will release the great outpouring of God's Spirit. As we begin to join together and cry out to God, the rivers of living water within each of us will join together and become a flood of spiritual power in the earth. So ask, pray for the Holy Ghost goalie washer, intercede for the outpouring, make this mighty flood a spiritual power priority in your prayer life. And scripture reading is Joel 2:23-32. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains in the spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God. Who does these miracles for you? Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion and Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivings whom the Lord has called. Amen and amen. Now remember, if the people of Judah admitted their sins, God would take away their pains and replace it with blessings. Likewise, we, when we admit to our addictions and dependencies and our sins and turn our lives over to God, He will take away the things that torment us and replace them with His wonderful provisions. The barren, parched wastelands of our lives will flourish. He promises that we will never have to go through the pain of our addictions again as long as we follow Him. Since this prophecy was fulfilled at Pentecost in Acts 2, we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been changing dysfunctional lives since He was given to the world. Peter and the apostles in Acts 2, Paul, Acts 9, a demon-possessed slave girl and a jailer, Acts 16, and others, the spirit that Job prophesied about, the spirit who changed first century lives, is available to change our lives. 2, we can trust the God of the Old and New Testament to heal our broken lives and help us journey toward recovery. Amen and amen. One more. Yeah, let's go to 26, please. The 26 says, press on in patience, press on. Scripture is Hebrews 6:12. Be strong, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12 in the New Living Testament says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the examples of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Amen. All right. You've been walking by faith. You've been believing God to meet your need. But what do you do when the results seem slow in coming and you are tempted to give up? Be patient. I said, be patient. There's not much said about patience these days, but when it comes to receiving from God, it is just as important as faith. It will make the difference between success and failure for you. Patience undergirds and sustains faith until the result is manifested. After you have meditated on the promises of God and have them in your spirit, patience will encourage you to hold steadily. Patience is power. It has the courage to refuse the lie of Satan that says the word is not working for you. It knows that God's word has never failed. Patience will not draw back in fear, but will press toward in faith until you have the answer. It will press forward. When the results of your faith seem slow in coming, don't give up. Continue to put the word first with patience, and you will surely receive the promise of God. Let's go ahead and read Hebrews 6:12 again. It says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the examples of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. And folks, that's me and you. And we already have inherited a whole bunch. You know, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus. More to come. In confronting his readers regarding their spiritual lethargy, the writer writes a Hebrew. Words were strong and direct. Though here he still chooses to be positive and think the best about them, he knew from the past how hard they had worked, but he also faced the reality of their immaturity and challenged them to persevere in spiritual growth and recovery with patient faith. In our recovery, we sometimes need to be corrected and challenged. This passage gives us an example of how to confront others when necessary and yet also be open to correction from people who love us. Amen. All right, now reading Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. Amen, 10, 32 to 39. It says, curtain open. Think of back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you. You accepted with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And again, like I said, you want to be courageous, honest, and when you mess up and say, "Thank you, God, I did that. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, Daddy, for doing that," and go ahead again. Then you mess up again and say, "Thank you, Daddy, I messed up. Thank you, God, I'm doing that. I thank you that I'm a mess up. I thank you I'm a misfit. And you keep playing with the situation. What you're doing is you're establishing a new habit in you of God's love, power, and presence. So it's really a battle against the sin, that it's a habit to a new habit of you praising the Lord every time the bad habit happens. You hook up a good habit and back up a bad habit, and eventually the power of the gospel, the power of God, the presence of God in thanking Him for the problem will dissipate, dissolve, and clear away the sin that's so easily besetting you. Now we are using our willpower in the right direction. We are implementing the Lord's will. We're saying, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I thank you and I praise you. I'm a misfit. I praise you and I thank you. I messed up." If you keep on messing up, don't give up. This is part of the endurance. It's part of the education. If you learn this one, can you imagine how many people you're going to be able to help? Again, thank you so much for coming in here and be making a difference in my life and your life. Let's go ahead and pray out with the Lord's Prayer again, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I love you.